I feel like it's been forever since we've spoken, but it hasn't. Bryce Young, that's how much I miss you when I don't speak to you every single week, Will. Bryce Young hasn't really been elevated to number one, but they're treating him like a number one quarterback, and I guess they should. So I'm really not surprised, but all the reports are that he is absolutely on track to be QB1, even when they get to training camp, maybe well before they get to the start of the season.
Yeah, look, David Tepper doesn't trade a bunch of assets. And let's be clear about it. David Tepper made that trade to go up and get Bryce Young if he doesn't expect him to start week one. You know, if you go up and get Anthony Richardson for all that, or you go up and get Will Levis, which, I mean, in hindsight, Richardson, goes fourth overall. You're like, all right, you should have to want to get him. You go up and trade Will Levis, and he falls where he does. And you're like, oh, boy. But you don't make that move if the guy's not starting week one. You also don't go draft a guy like Bryce Young at number one if he's not going to start week one. However, right. I think Frank Reich's just the way that Frank Reich operates at him is that he doesn't want to give anything away in terms of a competition. He doesn't want to just hand Bryce Young he wants Bryce Young to win the job. Sure. And Bryce Young's going to win the job. And by win the job doesn't mean that he has to actually be better than, you know, Andy Dalton or whoever you want to roll in. What he has to do is just be good enough as a number one overall pick to earn the job.
Mm-hmm.
And like the barrier for earning that job as a number one overall pick is so much lower than it is if you're a third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson had to beat out Matt Flynn.
Right, he did.
In training camp and the preseason. And he did to get that job, to earn that job from Pete Carroll. Bryce Young's barrier to earning that job is so much lower. But if you're Frank Reich, and I think you don't want to acknowledge that he's just going to get the job, he is. Like, he would have to stink the joint up. He would be terrible.
He would have to lose it. He would have to lose the job.
Right. That's a better way to put it. The job is his to lose.
Will Brinson is with us here on the Adam Gold Show. Here's the thing, and I keep drawing this comparison to what happened last year. Ike Ekwonu was the sixth overall pick, and he was always going to, at some point, be the starter at left tackle. But when Matt Rhule named him the starter at left tackle, we just watched him in the preseason game get treated like a turnstile. Like, he was terrible.
Yeah.
And then Matt Rhule named, but we've seen what we needed to see, and I'm like, wait a second. Did we watch a different game? Because, look, I get that he was always going to ultimately be the starter. But you can't name him the starter after we just saw him get abused in a preseason game. But that speaks to the fact that every time you hear Frank Reich talk, I judge him in relation to what we had been listening to for three preseasons. And Matt Rhule was a rank amateur compared to this professional.
Yeah, Frank Reich, I've had a lot of, we're in the middle of our summer break for the NFL and you run into, every time I run into family members or friends, they want to they're like, what's the deal with Frank Reich? Like, because a lot of people really like Steve Wilkes.
And, sure, I did too.
Love Steve Wilkes. And I can't overstate enough just what an upgrade Frank Reich is going to be for the Carolina Panthers over Matt Rhule, not just with, not just with his overall ability as a head coach, but also, with his ability in terms of bringing in other coaches and the other coaches that he brought in. He has an all-star coaching staff. They're going to be professionals. They're going to operate in a way that everybody makes mistakes in every job, right?
Sure.
But they are going to Matt Rhule, it is going to feel like night and day for Panthers fans. And nobody's really seen the Frank Reich effect, in operation yet. But he is a really, really smart head coach. He is a really balanced, diligent guy. He doesn't get too high, too low. And he's not going to act like a slappy like Matt Rhule did for several years.
All right. A couple of other issues around the league. And this one is sort of a made-up conversation, but I am fascinated by it. And I was watching one of the other networks, Will, and they flashed up a question. Will, and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about here, will Aaron Rodgers become the most beloved quarterback in New York, or, Jet quarterback, whatever, in Jets history, if he wins a Super Bowl, meaning
you'd have to get up pretty early to figure out what network you were watching. I think is that a fair assessment?
That is a very good assessment, Will Brinson. So, and here's my point, because I don't think the normal host was there that day.
Sure.
There's nothing that Aaron Rodgers could do. Nothing. He could win 3 Super Bowls. He is never going to surpass Joe Namath in Jets lore. I would argue that he is the most beloved football player in New York, and that goes for all the great Giants that ever played. Whether it's Lawrence Taylor, the only one I would say is close is the late Frank Gifford. Joe Namath, he wasn't even that good.
Nah.
He was great early, and then his knees fell apart, and he couldn't be great anymore.
Charismatic.
But Joe Namath, he survived everything. Everything. Joe Namath will never be surpassed in Jets history.
I do think that, and I probably agree with you, I do think that there's a case to be made that, like, if winning a Super Bowl now for Jets fans, when so many of them, so many Jets fans were weren't alive for the Jets. We're functioning sports
fans. I was barely alive.
Right. All they know is pain and suffering. Yeah. And, like, bringing, you think about, you know, like, would you say that, you're not going to say that Anthony Rizzo, obviously, is like an all-time great, is the greatest Cubby of all time.
No.
Whoever
Mr.
won the
Cubs.
World Series. But, like, I'm just saying they ended the pain.
Yeah.
Of some, like, if,
no,
if Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers single-handedly, and it will be granted single-handedly, even though football didn't work that way, comes in and wins a Super Bowl and ends the pain of New York Jets and the suffering, I mean, it'll be an argument. It'll be an argument, but like it has to win a Super Bowl for it to even be a discussion, obviously.
Right, but it would be an argument for it being like the cherry on top of his sundae.
Yeah.
Now, it would be great for the Jets, but it would be sort of like LeBron winning a title for Cleveland. Aaron Rodgers was so good that he won a title for the Jets. Again, my prediction is that as good as Aaron Rodgers is today, I don't think he can overcome that cesspool.
I agree with that. And by the way, too, the other thing is that, remember, with the time frame that Joe Namath played, he also then had, like, post the guarantee, the Super Bowl win, and then you have the fur coats, and it's like his legend
the
has
pantyhose.
Only grown.
He wore pantyhose. He did commercials for pantyhose. When I want to see Aaron Rodgers do commercials for, like, Lululemon.
Sure. Wouldn't I think it would be difficult for Aaron Rodgers to be the greatest Jet ever. I think if Aaron Rodgers, now this is an off-season trope of the highest degree, but like if Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, he would go on the Mount Rushmore of the Jets.
He could, yeah, because we still have two spots
open.
Mount
Rushmore. He'd sneak home.
We still have two empty spots.
Woody Johnson's little ball cap is one of them.
Like, just Namath, and then Aaron Rodgers, and we got two more empty spots.
Right.
I want people to remember, I am a recovering Jets fan. I am no longer a Jets fan. I am doing my best every day to kick the habit. So Saquon Barkley, Will Brinson is with us here on the Adam Gold Show. Saquon Barkley says he will not go to minicamp. Oh, real quick, back to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers says these 6 weeks have been the most fun he's had in years. Do you think he said that knowing in his mind that the Jets were going to cancel mandatory minicamp?
maybe. I do think that there's something interesting about, you know, start with a fresh perspective.
Sure.
And you go to a new place and you're in the Big Apple, and everyone is kowtowing to Rodgers. Everyone is sucking up to Rodgers, and like all the, you know, it's like, oh, like, look at this throw. Rodgers is amazing. And look, he won the MVP 4 times.
Yes.
You know, twice in the last 3 years. It's the, you know, if you think about the Jets, and sort of go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Tom Brady showed up. You know, that's a franchise that didn't have a ton of success for a long time. And there's just it was a loser vibe in the building to a degree.
And Brady changed it.
I think when someone is that much of a winner shows up, and I don't think Rodgers is quite there on Brady's level, but still, you know, Aaron Rodgers Hall of Surefire Hall of Famer, you show up, it just feels different. For a lot of these guys who've never played with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, they're like, holy – they just went from Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers. They're like – Zach Wilson to Mike White to Aaron Rodgers. They're like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
this is like going from a bicycle to a Ferrari.
He has a chance, and Rodgers has a chance to transform that team, if you will, the current version of that team, because the core of it is so young, which was not the case – in Tampa, that was a veteran team that really put all of this, the current team on a credit card. They extended contracts well out into the future to keep as many players as they could under the cap. And the end result is Tampa's probably going to go back to being bad again. But the Jets have a chance with 2 years of Aaron Rodgers, even though there might be a dead cap hit when he walks away. 2 years of Aaron Rodgers, maybe to elevate the status of the franchise, they might be in a different spot. But then again, it's the Jets. We'll have all bets are off. Real quick, before I get to the running back debate, Will Brinson. So the Jaguars are considering playing games at Daytona International Speedway while their stadium is. How are they going to do that? Does every fan walking in get a pair of binoculars or a telescope so they can see the game?
I mean, I saw widespread panic at Myrtle Beach Speedway one time. Does that count as a similar?
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing.
By the way, I'll tell you what, man, you want to talk about scorching hot? Holy cow. Like, if you're playing in Daytona, I mean, like, those players, I mean, you're used to playing in Florida anyway.
Yeah.
You're basically playing in a concrete jungle.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
Obscenely hot.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how, I mean, they can seat 100,000 people in there.
Yeah, it's a 2.5 mile oval.
Yeah.
How are they? The football field, you can have like a quarter mile track around a football field. We're talking about 2.5 miles.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw that the other things that have been discussed about were University of Florida, their stadium, the Swamp, Camping World Stadium in Orlando, which hosts the bowl game,
right.
A 11,000-seat baseball stadium that hosts the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, which, by the way, like, that's a good idea. They should do that this year. 11,000, I mean, because the Jaguars are going to be good. It would stink for the Jaguars fans because a lot of season ticket holders would lose out, but that place would be raucous. It'd be like if NC State actually did the right thing and moved back into Reynolds, moved the basketball games back into Reynolds, which they will never do, but nevertheless, but they have to add like $125 million like worth of renovations each of those spots.
So I have the solution. The point
is, like, Daytona is going to be this would be so Jaguars to get this roster, get this coaching staff, get this this quarterback in place, get this roster in place, and then to go and like toss him in Daytona Speedway and lose all the vibes of the stadium, lose all the vibes of like force yourself to play in the Speedway. It just reeks of a bad decision.
Oh, it's a terrible decision. I have the solution. Not really. Shad Khan, the owner, also owns Fulham. Right
there, you go. Yeah,
Craven Cottage. We bring the Jaguars. This will be the NFL's experiment as to whether or not a franchise can work in London. So in West London, right there, it's Fulham. You got Brentford. You got Chelsea. All like you could throw a blanket over them. Oh, phenomenal! Or they could just play at Stamford Bridge. No, if it's Shad Khan, they'd have to play at Craven Cottage. All right, real quick. Saquon Barkley says he will not play under the franchise tag. I don't blame him. I don't know how that's going to work out. The Giants
don't blame him. Don't believe him.
you think he'll play under the franchise tag?
I think you have to. I don't see how he's going to get out of it. The problem is the only guy who's ever tried not to do it really in the modern CBA is Le'Veon Bell. And it just didn't. I mean, how'd that work out?
And Le'Veon Bell has said that he regrets not the way that
worked
out.
Throwing away $10 million guaranteed dollars.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott are right now unrestricted free agents. Of those three, who would you rather have right now?
Saquon Barkley. It's not even close.
It's not even close. I know Dalvin Cook gets hurt a lot, but.
Dalvin's 29, though. 27. You know, he doesn't have a ton of care. I mean, he played a full season last year. I love Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook, the two connections for him, Buffalo, where his brother plays, although he'd be stealing his brother's carries, which is a little weird. And then Miami, he's from South Florida, and that even though the Kyle Shanahan teams don't typically utilize higher paid running backs, that would be a perfect fit with that one cut. That's just what he excels in. You saw him; he thrived in Gary Kubiak's scheme. Kubiak, yep, obviously coached with Mike Shanahan.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast. Mm. All right, sir. We must tee it up soon. I don't know which end of the club to use, but I'll figure it out by like the fifth hole.
We can wildly swing. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to hit somebody off the first tee. I've never seen you do that.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Those are memories. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
So that was like an unfair shot at me.
Yeah, it was a dig.
Yeah, well, I mean,
throwing shade.
It actually did happen, but we don't have to get back to it. No lawsuit was filed, and that is probably fortunate.
That's good. Yeah.
It's probably fortunate. But, I mean, it happens, right? I mean, sometimes we were not accurate off the tee, and occasionally people get in the way. I mean, head on a swivel.
Right.
Just we'll just say that.
Danger zone.